Well, take your Bible today. Open to 1 Peter. We're going to continue where we began last week, talking to you about the Holy Ghost and power. And I trust that was a blessing to you as it was to me. I want to pick it up where I left off and talk to you today about what is this doing for us. We talked about why is it happening. Now we're going to talk to you today about what is this doing for us. Take your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 7 through verse 11. Second message in the series, Holy Ghost and Power. How many of you are glad today you're filled with the Holy Ghost? I will tell you, there isn't anything quite like it in all of the world, let alone the episode, the voyage of our life. What the presence of God within us does cannot be matched in any other way. The occult tries to. And the occult is no joke. They try to match that same sort of understanding and wisdom and discernment, you name it, but there isn't anything quite like it, even those tactics of the enemy to try to deceive people in these diverse sorts of ways. What God does for us by the infilling of His Spirit is unmatched, it is unparalleled in any other platform of our life. And we all need a greater sense of the Holy Ghost and power upon us, because you never know what's going to happen when you step out of your house on any particular day. My wife and I were sharing on the way over here when she was training in cosmetology school, when she took her board tests, she had to bring someone with her and did not know when she walked in for the test what kind of haircut she was going to have to do. And so the person who went with her had to be ready for any kind of a haircut. Shortcut, long cut, was her friend, your best friend that went with her. That's a brave person. Now with me, if I go in there, it isn't tough. It isn't tough at all. There's not much you can do with this. But can you imagine taking a friend with you to a test and say, I'm not going to tell you what kind of haircut you're going to get, but you got to be ready for anything? How many of you would sign up for that? One, two, maybe two people. But imagine, listen, every day when you get up, you don't know what you're going to face when you walk out of your house. Is that true or not true? You don't know what's coming. And that's where the presence of God within us makes us really capable of anything and ready for anything. And so 1 Peter 4, he writes to us, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. In other words, be ready. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. And be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. And everyone said a good amen. Heavenly Father, today we ask you to guide us in our conversations today. And Lord, as we share together in this capacity under this context, Lord, as we talk for a few moments additionally on top of the previous Sunday about the Holy Ghost and power, what He does, why He does it, how it will flesh out in our lives. We've never needed more than we ever have before your presence in our life like that. We need, God, your great grace upon us in every way. Help us, guide us, and direct us, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people said a great big amen. Let me just remind you here today of what we shared last Sunday, just very briefly, when we talked about why is there this phenomena in our days, even now, very literally, in the 21st century, why is there this sense of great renewal and visitation in the body of Christ with respect to the Spirit and His gifts? Well, first of all, it is the need for our mission and our purpose, both corporately and as individual members. In other words, in what we've been called to do, the Holy Ghost and power working within us will enable us to do that. And I want to recapitulate something I said last Sunday, that David Barrett, the great church statistician, tells us that today, anywhere in the world, that 75% of everyone being saved, no matter what they call themselves, are being saved through the ministry of full gospel ministers and their ministries. That just tells you what a difference his presence makes. Indeed, his presence makes all the difference. Second of all, we talked about that this will give us a recovering of his power in our own life that will literally transform us, and it will empower us. When you look at the early church, take Peter for an example. Peter's story is the before and the after. Before the cross and the resurrection and the outpouring of the Spirit, Peter was essentially just a coward. He was impetuous, but the very moment that it came to standing for Christ, he bailed on him. He denied he even knew him and cursed his name. But after the outpouring of the Spirit following the cross and the resurrection, Peter was transformed from a lamb to a lion. He's the first one to get up before the crowd gathered on the day of Pentecost and say, "You crucified the King of Glory." And he testified, and through his ministry, all of a sudden things just absolutely completely changed. It changed radically and dynamically. So obviously his presence does do something to us, more than we even realize. It gives us a sense of power, a sense of fuel on board. He fills in our lives with an ability that we simply, yes, we have gifts, yes, we have talents, yes, we have graces and aptitudes and experience and training, but his presence at work in us will take us beyond the ordinary to the extraordinary. His presence in us will take us from who we are to where he wants us to be. His presence will take us from the natural to the supernatural. There's no way around it, and that's why you need it. Because your abilities and my abilities will only take us about that far. And we got to go farther beyond that. We need to move into the supernatural realm, the miraculous realm, the charismata, the realm of the gifts and the anointing. Because it will make all the difference in the people to whom we minister. They're going to sense something, as we discussed earlier, that we don't even maybe realize they sense about us. There'll be a part of his presence at work in our life. And then third of all, this inbreaking of the Spirit has linked the mainline Protestant and the traditional Pentecostal movement to a degree that it's almost like the revisiting of the first century. Things are happening today in our times, just like the book of Acts, all over again. In communities, in ministries, don't you dare say, in your heart, mind, or out loud, "Well, I've already seen it all. I've already heard it all. I've already experienced it all." Can I tell you? If that's a God you serve, he is awful, pitiful, and small. I really believe with everything within me that nigh on to the coming of our Lord to set up rule and reign here in this world, the gifts are not going to be less, they're going to be greater. And there's going to be a greater power needed for us because the world is going to get crazier and crazier and crazier. This world is going to become like a floating insane asylum and the inmates will be in charge. It's going to get nuttier and crazier, and we see it happening all the time. You see it. I see it. I know we don't like it. There's just all kinds of screwy stuff. And some of the stuff that people say and do today is like, really? I got a T-shirt I actually picked up in Times Square when we were in New York last year with our daughter, and it was at Bubba Gump's. You ever been to Bubba Gump's? I said, "Bubba Gump's," and I got this T-shirt on clearance. I'm not going to buy it if it's not on clearance. It was on clearance. And the T-shirt was, you know, Forrest Gump. And the T-shirt said something like, "It's normal anymore." We have to kind of ask that question sometimes. Because language has changed. Things don't mean now what they used to mean, right? Earlier today when I was talking about how words change like gay, there's another word that's changed. Grass. Hello. Green's my favorite color. Green's my favorite color. He added one to me today. I used to say, green's my favorite color. Trees and grass and leaves. And he said, and money. Hello. But words have changed. Our culture has changed. Morality has changed. We've seen it happen. Those of us, some of us are lifetimes, we've watched all this. And I'm going to tell you, the nuttier this world gets, the crazier it gets, the more power we're going to need in our lives. See, I don't care how high you jump. I want to see how straight you walk when you come down. And you're going to have a power in your life that will enable you to keep picking them up and putting them down when people are falling by the wayside on every hand. And I've read my Bible and so have you. In the last days, terrible times will come. And we're going to have something in us. I'm not telling you not to do some of the things you're doing to prepare for the days ahead. Do all that. We're doing those very things. But can I challenge you? Whatever you do, yeah, go out and get ready for an economic disaster. Yeah, go out and get ready for any kind of a nuclear whatever. You do all you can do, and God will make up the deficit. But more important than all of that put together is get the Holy Ghost in your life and His power and His gifts. Because you got to be ready. And I got to be ready. We don't know what's numbing around the corner next, politically. But God does. God does. Aren't you glad that God does? He will prepare you. Listen to this. There are times when God's going to prepare you for stuff in advance of it happening. And you're going to say to yourself, what was that all about? Don't ever discount some of those dreams and visions. Now, can I get something off my chest? My wife's already did it, and it's out there, and I'm glad she did it, and it needs to be said. I'm going to say it now. Two times in recent circumstances, we've had people say to us, when we've said, well, would you pray for so-and-so and so-and-so? They've come back to us and said, we don't know that person. I don't know that person. And we're like, what? What? What would you think if you came up to me and said, would you pray for so-and-so and so-and-so, and I said to you, I don't know that person. Oh, you'd be deeply offended, I think. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to hear this. In the days to come, as this world gets crazier and nuttier, and people desperately need us to stand with them in situations, if somebody comes up to you and says, would you pray for such and such and so, don't you dare say to them, I don't know who that person is. Listen, don't you serve a God that does? Doesn't He know those people? Doesn't He know what they're dealing with? Doesn't He know how they're being challenged? You may not know them. You may not know anything about them. But the Holy Ghost of God living within you can give you dream and vision and insight and revelation. So all of a sudden when somebody comes and says, you know what, I feel I got a word for you. Where do you think that comes from? The Holy Ghost of God. That's my rant for the day. Glory to God. So why is all this presence coming? Because we need it. It isn't just about you speaking in tongues like a machine gun. That's the initial physical evidence, but it's not the ongoing evidence. The ongoing evidence is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. You see, when you have that fruit emanating from you, that comes from the Spirit of God living within you, you're going to make a difference. Where you work, where you live, who you live with, and the places where you go and you frequent. And friends, we're going to need it more than ever before because this world is rushing to a grand culmination. Now, second of all, in the second message, why is God doing this in our times? What is really happening with the gifts at work? Why is God doing this? Well, first of all, He's doing it because the Scripture's being fulfilled in that process. Take your Bible. I want to show you a verse. You already know this verse. You probably can quote this verse. But just so you can see it for yourself, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 And let me say you, the scripture unequivocally says this. We are commanded. I get tickled because I grew up cutting my teeth on a pew in the middle of ongoing week after week services of revival. And love the move of God. In whatever way God wants to do it, I love it. In all capacities, all forms, all ways. But because I've got some background in that, particularly the traditional, you know, Church of God, Foursquare, somebody's, all that kind of thing. We were part of those events that were going on in our area. I love those things. I always get tickled when you talk to people that have been somewhat cut in that traditional mode, how when you ask them a question like, well, have you received the infilling? And they're, oh, yeah, you know, 40 years ago, we were in the middle of a camp meeting and walk in the middle of the... Can I just a wee bit rebuke that kind of way of saying it by reading you this verse? In Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation or debauchery, but be filled. And the Greek text is a continual present tense. Be being filled with the Spirit. It isn't just a one time, once for all. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you name it, wherever. Thank God for all of those experiences. I'm not belittling any of them. I've had those experiences in my life. But here's the question. It's not, were you filled? My question is, are you filled? The scripture is being fulfilled when God hasn't just filled us, but he is filling us. I pray that this morning you already had a refilling of God's presence. When you got up, when you're going about your early morning or perhaps in the overnight, depending on how you work or whatever you do for remuneration, you know, there's all sorts of different scheduling today. Some people have their best time of day is the middle of the day or the morning or the evening or whatever, the overnight. Call it whatever you will. I'm not asking you about once upon a time. I'm asking you this morning about a current experience. Not just were you filled, but are you filled? Is there a sense in which you can actually say, I am being, ongoing, continually filled with the Spirit? It shows and indicates this blessing is not just a one-time experience. It's supposed to be an ongoing joy. Constantly being filled with His presence. The fact the verb is a command, notice this, not to bore you with an English lesson, but you'll see by looking at that latter phrase of verse 18, it is in the imperative tense. He's not suggesting it. He's commanding it. In the Greek, it's an imperative tense. In other words, a continual imperative tense. He's commanding us constantly, friend. I'm commanding you, be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because you're going to need it. Anybody in the house here ever have a car with a leaking oil pan? My first car that I ever owned was a 1966 Pontiac Bonneville that would pass everything on the road but a gas station. And it ate oil. I mean, it was a great old car. It would fly down the highway, but that thing would eat oil. And it used it. And if you knew the car, you knew when that started clackety-clacking, you better get some oil in it, like, real quick-like, or the car was just going to stop. And there was a couple of times we just stopped beside the road till we could get some oil in it. The car used oil and it leaked oil. Now, as you are in the process of living, life is going to eat the oil out of your life. You already know this, just as I do. The busier you are for God, the more you're giving out, the more you got to be taken in. You can't give what you don't got. And if you're going to have an oil in your life, you're going to have to be filled with it because you're going to be constantly giving it away. In ministering to people, in loving people, in the stresses of life. Hello, the circumstances and situations you face, both at home or on the job, or wherever you are, or stuff you read about, or all of a sudden something comes out of nowhere. Hello? It's going to be constantly tapping into that reserve. And we must be being filled, because if we're going to be giving anything away, we're going to have to be bringing something in, and we need a constant flow of oil. Because we're going to be in the process of sharing it with people who desperately need it. And they're going to tap into your life. They need what you got. They need what I've got. It is clear that this presence within us, this constant filling, it's a command. We're not to leave home without it. But also the verb is in a passive voice, which makes it clear it's not something the Christian achieves in his or her own efforts. You got to have it given to you by somebody greater than you. That's the Spirit. He's the one that makes these deposits in our life. And he's the one that constantly fills us. So we have this constant sense of those that, you know, they try to dismiss this and act like it's not even. Years ago we had a gathering, and we had a, it was an ecumenical gathering. It was a gathering of a whole lot of differing congregations from a whole lot of differing denominations and backgrounds. And there was this little lady that walked in and grabbed my wife by the arm and said she had a little songbook of some kind or another. She wondered if we could use it. And she said, oh, this songbook is full with all of that Holy Ghost stuff, and we don't talk about that spirit, that thing in our church. My God. We need to talk about the Spirit of God, and we need to talk about the Holy Ghost in power, and we need to reference His gifts, because I'm telling you, it isn't just something about a denomination. It isn't just something about the evangelical or those that perhaps have some other priority. His presence in us is so necessary, because that process of the Spirit of God filling us is a fulfillment of Scripture itself. God promised His people would be blessed beyond just conversion with gifts and power, signs and wonders and miracles. And He wants to not just fill us once, He wants to be filling us. Say amen today. Second of all, the presence of God, what we're seeing in this outpouring that's going on and will continue to go on in an even greater fashion under the coming of the Lord, it is second of all an evidence of the Spirit Himself at work. The Bible reveals that the person of the Holy Ghost has been the agent of the ministry of the Word through centuries. Now, we believe in the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Listen, co-eternal, co-equal, co-existent. You hearing? When we talk about God, we're not dealing with the oneness thought of God just changing hats through varying dispensations. We believe one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And throughout history, throughout the centuries, the Spirit has been the primary agent of the work at the ministry of the Word at work. It has also been suggested, and maybe with some validity, that we might view the unity of the activity with an eye toward the special functioning in this way. Think of it this way. That the Father's the executive, the Son's the architect, and the Spirit's the contractor. He's the one that makes it happen. How? By filling us. By empowering us. Look at this. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But He does almost nothing without human cooperation. And He uses us. And nowhere does the Bible talk about us working for God. But over and over, the Bible talks about us working with God. And the way we work with Him is His Spirit empowers Him. Now listen. If you study the life of Gideon, in the Old Testament, Judges chapter 6, there's this beautiful reference in the book of Judges where it talks about how the Spirit made clothing of Gideon. In other words, Gideon became the clothing of the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God at work was being used through Gideon. And he did these unbelievable things because the Spirit used him like that. I don't know about you. I want God to make me His clothing. In other words, for God to so fill us, our lives, that we, the outer person, the clothing of the Spirit, are being used by His power, His gifts and graces. And listen, don't think for a moment you've got this figured out. Because the very moment you think you know, God will show you. He can do it the way you didn't even expect Him to do it. How many of you ever had God really surprise you in doing something you didn't think He would do or how He would do it? And you're like, oh my God, did I just see that? Did I just observe that? Well, listen, God doesn't just want to use Benny Hinn. and Joyce Meyer and T.D. Jakes and whoever else you might like and enjoy. He wants to use you. Not just the pasty, cross-eyed, bald-headed preacher. He wants to use you. Right where you live, right where you work, right where you drive, right where you frequent, right where you recreation. He wants to use you. Because people expect someone like me, okay? Because I carry professional credentialing. Well, they kind of expect a little of that. Well, what disarms people is when someone doesn't have any of the quote-unquote finery. They're just quote-unquote a believer. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a deacon. I'm not a teacher or anything else. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet. But you know, God spoke to me back there. I was walking down the aisle here in Kroger. And all of a sudden, God sent me to you to say something. I'll tell you something to disarm someone. Looking for the milk bones for their dog, and all of a sudden get a prophetic word, that'll disarm you. Especially from somebody you might least expect. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do. He wants to use us like clothing. Completely take us and surround Him. And wherever we go, and whatever we do, He wants to use us with gifts and graces and power that will change people's lives forever. The Spirit, we're told, is the author of the Old Testament. We're told He is the Old Testament anointer. We can go on and go on. I can give you 100 verses on this of how the Spirit anointed people, how He gave them the means of being able to write. In fact, it's said in 2 Peter that the holy men of God of old were Pharaoh. They were bore along by the Spirit. How did they write what they wrote? Let alone how did they write it without a mistake? I can't even fill out an application without a mistake. Let alone be able to read it. My writing is horrible. I got the worst grade in penmanship in the fourth grade. I was the last person to get a pen in my class. I still can't write. And yet God took these 40 different writers and He anointed them with His Spirit so there is not a contradiction in the entire shooting match. How does that happen? Only the Spirit of God anointing these men in this manner and in this way. That's the only way it could have happened. And the Spirit tells us, He was in the Old Testament, He was the author of all that. We're told in the Old Testament, He was the anointer. We saw, as we already mentioned, He's the contractor. He's the one that's overseeing this whole thing. In all respects, we see the Spirit as the one that operates in the church as a definite personality. He's not an it, He's in Him. He has definite personality given to the church in His varying gifts so that we can go beyond our own limitations to do what we could not do in our own power or in our own strength. That's what He does for us. Why is He doing it? Because we need something beyond the normal. We don't want to just be normal. We don't want to just be usual. We want God to somehow empower us that will actually capture the breath of people who are lost and dying. That all of a sudden it's like, what in the world did I just see? What in the world did I just experience? And let me tell you something. God is still confronting people today in ways that they don't even necessarily even anticipate through the person of His Spirit working through us. You know, where you work and God gives you a word, God gives you a dream, God gives you a vision, God gives you some particular gifting to some person who is in a particularly difficult place or a particularly difficult situation. The Spirit of God, hear this, is a person. He's not an it. He's an actual personality with whom you can have a relationship. It took me a long time to get this. Because understanding doctrine in some small way, I can still remember the day when I asked the Lord in prayer, Lord, I want a relationship with Your Spirit. And I can remember the day, I can remember where I was, when one of the few times in my entire adult life when I heard this voice of God audibly, calling my name. Can I tell you, God wants a relationship with you in the person of His Spirit, because He is a person. And He wants to share fellowship with you. Now listen, we're not talking X-Files here. Ooh. We're not getting all, as our granddaughter Hannah would say, all spooky here. I'm talking about reality here. Do you know you can share a relationship with God? Not even being here? When you're out driving your automobile? If you're on 74, you need a relationship with God. Wherever you go. You don't have to wait to get to church or to get on the phone with the preacher or the head elder. God wants a relationship with you. He's a person. If we understand that, then we understand what the Scripture is telling us. When it talks about how the Spirit of God, because He's a person, He can be insulted. He can be grieved. He can be offended. And when you suddenly begin to realize that, it changes the way you talk. It changes the way you relate to people, the things you do, the places you go. Because you're in a relationship with a real person. The Spirit of God, He's a person. The Bible doesn't call Him an it. There's a great praise chorus. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. It was sung for a long time in our full gospel churches all over the country and around the world. It was a cool song and made you jump and dance, but it was just wrong. Jaron Davis, he's out of a oneness background. There was this song called, the words were "Send It On Down." Send it on down. Send your Holy Ghost. Send it on down. It's just wrong. He's not an it. You ever sing that song? Send it on down. That's just doctrinally wrong. And I'm not trying to be all cerebral and the rest of it. He is not an it. He is a genuine person. He can be offended and insulted. We're told not to grieve the Spirit by whom we were sealed unto the day of redemption. And people can do that when they don't appreciate who He is and what He does. And Jesus talked about how the Spirit, when He would come, He talked about how He would be the Paraclete. That's the transliteration into English. The Greek is the Parakletos. And what it literally means is the one who walks beside us. You ever have a boss say to you, "Go on over there and do that"? How much difference when the boss says, "Let me show you." Walks step by step beside you and gets right down and dirty with what you got to get done. You know the difference, don't you? It's all the difference in the world. Let me tell you what. God doesn't just say, "Go on." He goes with us. He walks beside us. He walks in our footsteps. He walks and partners with us. And that's what makes the difference where we live and what we got to do, because God isn't going to just send you out there and give you the left foot of fellowship and say, "Go ahead, figure it out." He doesn't do that. He partners with us. Can I tell you this? Not just in our victories, but our sorrows. You're never by yourself. Am I the only one that's ever said, "God, thank you for not leaving me to myself. Thank you for being with me right here, right now, helping us through the challenges and the circumstances, the difficulties"? Wherever we go, He does not leave us. He does not abandon us. Nor does He leave us to our own resources. You look in your bank account, look in my bank account, "Oh my God." But He doesn't just leave you to the limitations of what you have amassed. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. The diamonds in the mine and the taters under the hills. He owns it all. True story. This text is a true story. Anybody here remember Corrie Ten Boom? Anybody ever see The Hiding Place? The great film produced by Billy Graham and his organization. They were running production for the film, and they were running short of money. Very, very short. And so Billy Graham called Corrie Ten Boom himself and said, "We got a problem. We're running out of money. We're not going to be able to finish the film." And Corrie Ten Boom said, "I'm going to pray that the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills will sell a field of steer so we can finish." True story. Within just a few short days, a call came from Texas to Billy Graham's office. And a rancher in South Texas said, "I've got a lot of longhorn. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. could you use any of the money on the hoof? And they sold thousands of Longhorns to finish the hiding place. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And you know, it's amazing how he constantly proves to us how much he loves us by every once in a while just sending one of those Longhorns our way. And it isn't always a great big thing. I told this story, I think, but not every one of you heard it. I'm wearing these shoes today for a reason. My back's been bad, but that's not the whole reason. I was out and about. Remember I told you the testimony about the ice pack? How God used Mindy for Nance? We still pray that prayer, Mindy, often. Lord, you sent the ice pack. You can take care of the rest. Well, I was having one of those mornings where I was busy out in the middle of nowhere, and I'd hit a deer. I think I told you that. I hit a deer, and I've hit so many deer. Oh, my God. So many of them through the years. I was trying to get home, and I got the whole car home fine, no problem. I was kind of feeling a little bit blue, a little bit low, thinking, oh, my God, I hit this deer and this and that. What in the world? And I needed a pair of shoes. I did. I wore out some of the ones I've used, and I needed a pair. And I was in the car, headed to the house, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, go on eBay and call up that pair of shoes that you've been dreaming about getting. Well, these shoes here that I'm wearing, I ran 3 marathons in, but they're unavailable. They're 15 years old. I won't pay more than $19.95 for a pair of shoes. I mean, if it's not on sale, I don't need it. If it's free, it's for me. If it's not on sale, I don't need it. How many are with me to free? Hey, free for me? Anybody in the house? And so I had found a pair of these shoes 4 or 5 years ago, and I still have them. I'd used them a little bit, but I needed another pair. I wore the other ones out. And I'd been thinking about it. I wouldn't pay the ridiculous price. I wasn't going to do it. And that morning, feeling rough, feeling blue, and all the rest of it, the Spirit of God said, go on eBay, call up that pair of shoes. I said, God, I've looked and looked and looked and looked. They're nowhere to be found. I brought up eBay, told him what I was looking for, and some dude had just listed it. He put this pair of shoes on and didn't know if he'd even be able to sell them because they're so old. I contacted the dude. I said, I've been looking for those shoes for years. I got them for $19.95. My price. And before I got to the house, the Spirit of God said, if I can get you the pair of shoes you want, don't you think I can take care of everything else? That's the God we serve. It isn't always the great big things that catch your breath. It's sometimes those little blessings. Selling that Longhorn. Taking care of that particular problem. It gives you the faith to think, yeah, that's the God I serve. Now listen. There's a reason why after you get saved, you stay here. Am I the only one that has thought, now why doesn't God, when he saved us, just take us out? Just rapture us. Well, because he wants to use us. He wants you to give away what you've got to somebody else who doesn't yet have it. And can I tell you, there are people that need what you've got. And they're not always going to be the nicest of people. They're not always going to be the best of people. They're not always going to look right, talk right, spell right. But they need. They need what it is we have to offer. And God wants to so fill us with his power that we're able to move beyond the normal to the supernormal through us. And he wants to help you to do what you're not good at doing on your own. He'll take you and help you to reach out of yourself with gifts. We're going to be talking about that next Sunday. The gifts and powers of what he gives to us that enables us to make a difference in somebody else's life. How many of you want that fresh touch of power? Heavenly Father, I praise you today. I thank you today for your goodness in our lives. And I thank you for how you were at work in each and every one of our circumstances, our homes, our families. We heard earlier today about the incredible ways in which, God, you are at work. Father, we read the book of Acts and we see how you used your people in those earliest days that literally turned a world that was upside down, right side up. And literally by the thousands, people flocked the message. And the signs and wonders that followed had caught everyone's attention, no matter what others may have called themselves. We believe before the end of times, there's going to be a total revival of the book of Acts, and it's happening today. And there's a world out there that is going daft in sin, that needs to see the reality of who God really is in their homes and their family. And Lord, that we might at long last finally discover our full potential of what you have anointed us with and what you've called us to be. And Father, we lift our hands today in this sanctuary because we want you to baptize us in fresh power. We know, Lord, there's always the possibility in every one of our lives of situations or circumstances that are so far beyond us, and we want a power that makes us more than capable of doing whatever we need to do, wherever we need to do it. Even when we find ourselves walking in the valley of the shadow, God, we pray for a power that will fear no evil, because you're with us. You're with us. I thank you for what you're doing today in the extended family members of the men and women of this church and the lives of these dear saints of God. And I know, God, our greatest days are before us. We got so much to do and so many places to go and so many folks to influence. None of us have enough one by ourselves. We're going to need your power. And as a body, we're going to need a baptism of power. It will so anoint us that wherever we go, in agreement, one accord, one place in unity, that something is going to be evident that people like a magnet are going to be drawn to. And we need that. Help us. God, may we develop an appetite and a hunger that we just won't be satisfied with status quo or business as usual anymore. We won't just be satisfied playing church. God, instead, there will be in us almost a sense of being hangry for a move of God in us and around us. Come, Holy Spirit. We long for a partnership with you. So it'll almost be like Enoch that we're walking with God. Challenge us, I pray. Anoint us with your presence. Father, as the men and women leave today to go out to Memorial Day weekend, what remains of it, Father, wherever they go to eat dogs and burgers, I pray, God, that a presence is going to go with them, that people are going to sense something about them, and it's the Spirit of God upon them. When people start asking them questions, maybe they don't know always what to say, but can they always answer, it's the grace of God upon my life. Anoint us. Empower us. Fill us. Use us. Lift holy hands, both of them, toward the heavens right now. Pour out your Spirit on us right now, God. Come on, right now, pray that prayer. We're almost done. God, pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit on me. Pour out your Spirit on my family. Pour your Spirit out on our home. God, pour your Spirit out on our ministry. God, pour your Spirit out where we work and where we live and where we play. God, pour your Spirit out when we're relating to people in the line at the grocery store. Pour your Spirit out upon us when we're in the convenience store pumping gas. God, pour your Spirit out upon us wherever we go. Even if we're at the ball field with our grandkids or children and we're watching them do this or that. God, pour out your Spirit upon us. When people are hurting and needy, we'll know quite what to say and how to say it. Use us, God, and don't we ever top out, oh God, by saying, well, we don't know who those people are. God, you know who they are. Anoint us with your Spirit to relate to people that are unknown to us now, that will later become people connected to us by your Spirit, we ask. We praise you for it. We bless you for it. Hallelujah.